in the limelight.
Biden's early rhetoric was reminiscent of both Obama's and Trump's initial seeming decisiveness about ending Americans' West Asia invasions. As Biden's self-imposed September deadline approaches, the so-called War on Terror military-civilian lobby is going into overdrive to keep a U.S. presence there, says Walden Bellow writer in an article titled, A True Biden Withdrawal from Afghanistan? Don't think about it. Stay tuned for more. Next September, when the last C-130 cargo aircraft and Chinook transport helicopters take off from the infamous Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan that has doubled as a CIA torture center for suspected terrorists, they will not only be leaving behind the site of a military defeat. Their departure will also mark the dismal end of a strategy of direct military intervention to drastically reshape the West Asia-North Africa region that resulted instead in upending the global strategic balance. America's 20-year-long war in the West Asia-North Africa region contributed decisively to degrading U.S. imperial power. Ending the Afghanistan commitment, progressives hope will provide the conditions for a fundamental reset of U.S. foreign policy. But even now, many are skeptical that the United States has really learned its lesson and that Joe Biden will not find another excuse to maintain a military contingent in Afghanistan. In a United States that has gone through the trauma of COVID-19, followed by the January 6th insurrection and a pandemic of almost weekly mass shootings, Osama bin Laden, George W. Bush, 9/11, and the so-called War on Terror might seem to be historical footnotes that pale before the country's present troubles. But these now seemingly distant personalities and events had a decisive role in shaping the present. Disregarding the lessons of Vietnam and the British and the Soviet debacles in Afghanistan, the Bush administration drove the U.S. into two unwinnable wars against highly motivated insurgents in the West Asia-North Africa region. It was not exactly the scenario he had envisaged, but he was not about to quibble if the Bush administration, owing to its drive for unipolar hegemony, placed the U.S. on the road to overextension, which was, after all, his strategic aim. Prolonged occupation demanded boots on the ground, and as Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage saw it, the army in particular is stretched too thin, fighting three wars, Afghanistan, still Iraq, and the global war on terrorism, unquote. At the height of the Iraqi war, defense analyst James Fallows wrote it was only a slight exaggeration to say that today the entire U.S. military is either in Iraq, returning from Iraq, or getting ready to go. Most of the army's maneuverable brigades were overseas, and those left in the U.S. were too few to maintain the contingency reserve or the training base necessary. Even the famed special forces were degraded, with their actual numbers in the field coming to hundreds at the most. And at the prospect of prevailing in the battlefield became more and more distant. Public support for the Iraq and Afghanistan expeditions, which was very limited right from the start, went up in the smoke. Then Barack Obama came to power in 2009, promising an end to the West Asia wars. In Iraq, the bulk of U.S. forces were withdrawn during his first term, but thousands of Marines and Special Forces personnel were reintroduced to fight against Daesh, whose growth had been provoked by the U.S. presence in the West Asia region. Obama also began intervention in Syria, deploying special forces and airstrikes. The U.S. intervention left Libya with no centralized government, and the country lapsed into an anarchy that persists until the present. In Afghanistan, Obama added 33,000 troops to the 68,000 already in the country when he came to office, thinking this surge would cripple the Taliban. This surge failed, but he maintained 8,400 troops in the country. In fact, Obama expanded the war to Pakistan using drones to target Taliban operating from bases near the border with Afghanistan. This computer-managed war took the lives of hundreds of innocent civilians that the military termed collateral damage. He also sent special forces on raids deep into Pakistan. Donald Trump rose to power partly on the strength of anti-war sentiment. In office, however, he ended up destabilizing the West Asia region ever more. There was, first of all, his unqualified support for the fake regime of Israel, which led him to a major move that infuriated Arabs, the transfer of the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds. Then he took the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal. Finally, he gave a blank check for weapons purchases to Saudi Arabia regime, enabling the benighted kingdom to wage its cruel intervention in the war in Yemen. Like Obama, Trump was passive-aggressive, eager to show the generals that he could be as macho as they are. The most notorious display of this behavior was when he flagrantly disregarded international law and ordered the assassination of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, top Iranian general, at Baghdad International Airport in January 2020, against the advice of the top brass and intelligence elites. Faced with passive resistance on the part of the generals, Trump ended up keeping thousands of troops in Afghanistan during his term in office, but mindful of the consequences of not keeping his promise by the 2020 elections, he directed the military in February 2020 to withdraw all troops by November 2020. Again, the military procrastinated with the support of the so-called War on Terror lobby. The deadline passed, and Joe Biden inherited some 3,500 troops and special forces personnel still in the country when he took office in January 2021. Biden's early rhetoric was reminiscent of both Obama's and Trump's initial seeming decisiveness about ending American West Asia region interventions. As Biden's self-imposed September deadline approaches, the so-called War on Terror military-civilian lobby is going into overdrive to keep a U.S. presence there. Biden's people must be anticipating with dread the blood curdling cry of "Who lost Afghanistan?" that the opportunistic far-right would raise in advance of 2022 midterm elections. One characteristic of overextension is that it is infernally difficult to shed old priorities so that everything becomes a priority. Few have been the empires that have been able to unclench their fist and let go of self-destructive commitments. This is the reason why. Despite Biden's rhetoric of withdrawal, one cannot fault skeptics who predict that Biden will ultimately not have the stomach to defy the entrenched interests that are hell-bent on keeping a heavy American footprint in Afghanistan and the West Asia-North Africa region.